All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 96. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
I got one brand new movie, and we'll be revisiting some movies that we reviewed previously, but the other person had not seen. Just kind of a whole bunch of stuff, and we'll try to get through them without spending too much time because we've talked about them before. But I wanted to start it off, brand new documentary that just premiered on Netflix. It's called The 13th. Ava DuVernay. I'm probably screwing her name up. And this movie is a documentary about, well, IMDb says, an in-depth look at the prison system in the United States and how it reveals the nation's history of racial inequality. Yes, that's what it's about, but I think in a broader scope, it is about kind of tracks black history in the United States from slavery to mass incarceration, you know, all the way up till today. And it makes the argument that although slavery was abolished in the 1800s, new laws and new policies were put into place to essentially put black people in prison. It is a just, I won't beat around the bush. I think it is one of the best movies of the year. It's a very powerful documentary, very well organized, very comprehensive. You know, it makes a strong argument that makes sense and really lets you see this kind of thread, how one thing moves to another, how slavery, then you have Jim Crow laws. You know, after a while, you can't say, well, you know, black people can't use the same facilities as us. But then all of a sudden, you're going to be, you know, like the government adopts policies like being very tough on crime, as that are essentially skewed towards putting minorities, poor people, for longer sentences than white people. And the laws themselves are targeted towards people such as, in the 80s, when crack came out, it was cheaper than cocaine. Who are in poorer communities, well, crack is cheaper. Well, you get a longer sentence for that. You know what I mean? So things like that. And on top of all that, it like ties everything right up to the minute. The stuff that happens in it, like there's parts of it that happened weeks ago, right? And the movie makes pretty strong case against Donald Trump. Like, I was not expecting that to like tie into our election. Also not kind to the Clintons either, as damning evidence on both of our presidential candidates, back to the 90s and the crime bill that they passed with things like three strikes you're out or whatever the hell, or, you know, mandatory minimum sentences. Stuff like that. It's a very good film. I highly recommend everyone to watch it. Like I said, it's available on Netflix. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything more you wanted to know about it. Like I could go into, I don't know if there's any details or whatever, but that's essentially what it is. And it's, you know, it's a bunch of people talking at the camera mixed with clips from history. It's really smart people. And like I said, it's organized very well and to make a very strong, powerful argument.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a go at some point here. Yeah, I mean, you kind of covered what it is. And
yeah,
kind of I'll have to watch it, see if you know, my take is kind of the same. I have a feeling it probably will be. But
and there's just parts of it that are, like, upsetting. Like, to give you an example of one thing is, you know, it tells a story of one guy who some sort of minor thing like shoplifting or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they wanted him to like make like a plea deal or whatever and just say he did it. And he's like, dude, I did not. Right. So he could have signed this piece of paper saying he did it and he could have went home right away. And because he refused to do that, he didn't want to confessed to a crime he didn't commit. He ended up spending like months in prison, and there's footage of him being abused by other prisoners, being beat up by guards. And this is a guy who was innocent. Like, he didn't do anything.
That's not.
Yeah, and then to find out later, like, after all was said and done, he got out. You know, like, he didn't, you know, he served whatever time he served in prison because they were holding him there. After he got out, he ended up killing himself. So, like, that was just, like, you're just like, whoa, dude. Like, there was an injustice there, you know what I mean?
And right.
There's going to be a lot of that. There's a lot of points in the movie where you're just upset. And it also makes, like, it ties, like, the language that Trump uses at his rallies, things he says, like, law and order and stuff like that. It ties it into exposes what it is, which is very old political language, where instead of saying, we got to get rid of all the black people, it's, you say things like law and order, we got to be tough on criminals and crime. Sure, there's people that would argue against that and say, like, no, that's bullshit. Like, being tough on crime is not the same thing as... But I would suggest those people watch the movie and might walk away with a new perspective. So, anyways, it's 5 stars and highly recommended.
Good.
I'll kick it over to you.
That's available on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. So I saw 4 movies this week. I guess we'll hold off on. I think you saw 2 of them.
Well, I know you saw The Conjuring 2, but I'm going to be watching that within the next couple of days, so we'll hold off on that.
We're going to hold that. But you haven't seen Joy.
I have not.
And have you seen Whiskey Tango Foxtrot?
No.
Okay, so I guess we'll briefly touch on both of them. Joy was last year's David O. Russell movie starring Jennifer Lawrence. Basically, it stars what's become his pretty standard cast since Silver Linings Playbook. Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, Robert De Niro. And it is the story of Joy, who she is the inventor of the Miracle Mop, which I don't know if you quite remember. I think it was like the either late 70s or early 80s, where I think it was probably the 80s, because it was QVC. Was sold on QVC, like right at the beginning of QVC's lifespan. And this kind of chronicles her story as a, you know, divorced single mother, who has, like, she has a fucked up family life. Her mother lives with her and just watches soap operas all day. Her dad is kind of an asshole, and her sister, her half sister, hates her. Her ex-husband lives in her basement. Like, her life is just kind of fucked up. And one day she just kind of snaps and, you know, I'm going to go back. I'm going to create something. And this chronicles, like, that whole process and how she went about doing it and getting it onto QVC. And then, you know, the happenings around the business where she almost lost it all because of her sister and her father and bad business deals that they facilitated on her behalf. And it sounds like maybe this isn't all that interesting. It's about the fucking Miracle Mop, but it's Jennifer Lawrence's performance in it is fantastic. She has like this magnetic draw that really like pulls you through the entire movie. It's not David O. Russell's best movie, but it's very strong performance from Lawrence, like keeps it watchable and entertaining. It starts out very funny. Like the first half hour or so is actually very amusing, but then it takes a nosedive and becomes way more serious. Not nosedive in that the quality of the movie goes down. It just becomes less funny and it's more serious. And there's a lot of like heartbreak going on and what she's doing. And the movie's kind of about her perseverance. So definitely worth a watch if you kind of like biopics and or Jennifer Lawrence. So I'm gonna go 3 stars, but it's quite entertaining to watch.
Okay. Well, yeah, I remember getting mixed reviews. Like, I remember being excited for it because I like David O. Russell, and then I remember getting mixed reviews, and I've not gotten to it, so maybe I should re-add that to my list.
It's a decent watch just to kind of see her performance. Like, she is the full draw of this movie, so.
Do you have a favorite David O. Russell movie?
Yeah, I don't really know. Like, I mean, we could go back. Three Kings was great, like years ago.
Yeah.
But I Silver Linings Playbook was really good. I like The Fighter. That was pretty good. I liked American Hustle too. So I'm not sure if I have a favorite, but
for some reason he lost me with American Hustle and The Fighter. I didn't like. If I had to pick one, I'd probably say like. His best is probably Silver Linings, but from way back in the day, I love Three Kings. Like, that's just probably my personal favorite.
It's a fun movie. with a fantastic cast, so.
Yeah, and it's just, like, really, yeah, it's just weird, like, unexpected things in it. Like, the way it shows the bullet going through the body. I don't know, that scene with Mark Wahlberg where he's getting tortured and the dude's asking him what's wrong with Michael Jackson, just like out of nowhere. You're like, what? That's what really put him on the map for me was that movie. I thought that, you know, probably that and Silver Linings, I think, are his best. But I'm not like, he's not a sure bet with me, I guess. Like, I didn't think much of The Fighter. And I really didn't like American Hustle at all. So.
No. It's another one of those movies with that cast, so
yeah. He's certainly found his. I mean, I like directors that do that, but like, geez, man, like, but,
maybe you don't need to feature Jennifer Lawrence in every movie. I mean, maybe you do. I don't know.
It's not a bad thing either.
Yeah,
I take back what I said. Saw Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yeah, so that's a Tina Fey. Yeah. It is another biopic based on Kim Baker, I guess is her name. And she was she was working as a producer for a news station. And then when the Afghanistan conflict hit and they needed people to kind of go and be war reporters, they kind of drafted her to do it and sent her off to Afghanistan, and it chronicles her, like, you know, her beginnings in being a news reporter on the ground and how she gets more confident as it goes along. And you see kind of like how she breaks some stories there, and she's teamed up with, you know, in this press area where Margot Robbie plays another reporter, and Martin Freeman is also in there as another, he's either a reporter or a photographer. And they, you know, you kind of see how their friendship blossoms, and you see how Kim's relationship back home falls apart, you know, cause she's put the story first instead of her relationship. And, for a movie that has Tina Fey in it, you probably expect it to be pretty funny. And she has some great lines. So does Martin Freeman, Margot Robbie. But this is not it's not like a straight comedy. Like, there's comedic things about it, but it's this story about, you know, war reporting, specifically Kim Baker's story there. But it's super entertaining. Something happens in the last act that requires her to kind of call in some favors and get some stuff done with the military. It's just really, really well done. I know it seems to have gotten mixed reviews across the board, but I was thoroughly engaged with it. It's probably about a little under 2 hours, and I did not feel like it was a long 2 hours at all. Like the movie just kind of flows real well, so.
Yeah, I don't. I can't. I remember it just having kind of a lukewarm reception, where it was like, "Yeah, it's good," I mean, or "It's okay." That's. I remember kind of any reviews I saw.
Yeah,
So I that's another one. I was like, "Yeah, whatever."
it's she's really good in it. Actually, the cast is by itself is really, really good. Alfred Molina plays a this kind of sleazy guy who works in the Afghan government, and he does a great job with it. Billy Bob Thornton is in it as a general. Like the cast is just phenomenal. And they all give great performances, so well worth a watch.
Do you remember the trailers for it?
No, well, mildly. I remember them being way more up on the comedy aspect of it.
Yeah, because the trailers made it look like a Tina Fey movie, like a Tina Fey, Amy Poehler type movie. And I
Yeah,
was
no.
like, but I was like, it seems like the subject matter doesn't match that.
Like there are funny bits to it, but and there are definitely like there are things that I guess Kim Baker and then the you know the writers of this movie felt like you know should be expressed as comedic, and sometimes they're not, but sometimes they shouldn't be considered comedic, but the way they're played here, just the absurdity of them, you're like, yeah, that's kind of funny. And it just the interactions between the reporters and the cameraman and the stuff that she does is well worth watching. But it is not a straight comedy, that is for sure. It's definitely more of a kind of a biopic, maybe a dramedy,
Okay.
like a comedic drama film.
Drama with gallows humor? How about that? No?
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily all gallows humor, but sure. Like, I mean, it starts off with them kind of getting bombed. Like, they're at a party and their bomb's going off. So, yeah, gallows humor probably works.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the way you were describing it made me think of like MASH or something, where it's like you kind of have to. Situation because of how
Yeah,
crazy
like,
it is.
there's a lot, like, so I'm not going to spoil a whole thing here, but, Tina Fey arrives in Afghanistan. She's been assigned like a guide and a security detail along with you know her cameraman and but Margot Robbie has been there for a little bit already, and Tina Fey is confused. She's trying to find like after her first night she goes to take a shower and she just ends up in this common area wearing her robe, and she's like, where the hell is the shower at? And Margot Robbie pulls her to the side and is like, yeah, it's good to have another woman here. Can I fuck your staff? Well, she's British, so I think she uses the word like shag. Can I shag your security detail? And it's like, huh? She's like, yeah, like, you know, there's not a lot of options here. And like, I don't want to step on your toes if you're going to do it. She's like, no, I have a boyfriend back home. She's like, oh, yeah. Tell me that in 6 months. We'll see how you feel then. Like, so yeah, there's definitely some humor to the movie.
Final verdict.
Four. I really liked it.
Well, I have to add that. Well, let's revisit some movies that we've already reviewed, but either you or I have not seen it. And I'm just gonna start throw this one out there. This won't take long for me to discuss, I don't think. But
Okay.
I watched Clown last night.
Okay.
I remember like it's okay.
That was kind of how I took from it. Yeah, it was
Yeah.
okay. I found it to be okay.
Yeah, I thought it kind of sucked. Like I was like, one, it's kind of, I forgot how long it is, but I want to say it was like 1 hour 40 minutes. Like it could have easily been 1 hour 20 minutes. Like I just thought it was long.
You could cut a lot out of it, yes.
I was bored for like long stretches of it, and like there's just like a long part where like the main guy just like disappears for 20 minutes, and you're like I guess they're like looking for him or whatever the hell. No, I think that like I liked the idea of it. I was not expecting it to be like amazing, but I was hoping to be entertained, and I was mostly bored. Like they don't like the fact that he's turning into a clown enough. I don't think like. Things like when he tries to kill himself and he like shoots himself in the head and it shoots out like different colored blood, like that was like neat, but like I wanted more like stuff like I just wanted him to have fun with the fact that he's a clown, like have him making like I don't know, like trying to like I expected at some point like he'd have like this crazy laugh or like like a clown laugh or something, but like they never really do anything with it. Like they treat it more like he's like a demon or something.
Yes. Well, I mean, they
And
explain that
yeah.
like it's just like that's where the clown came from, like is this
I
clown
guess
or whatever.
no, that's fine, but like
Point. Yeah.
I guess like they I would have liked them to play with the clown aspect of it, though, like have his personality change more. It didn't really do that. It was more like for children, and it would like you'd get this gross stomach sound of him being like hungry. It was like super gross, and the movie itself is super gross too. Like it's like it has like a super low body count, but dear God, is it like just weird? Like it's like a weird body horror movie where you're just like. Weird shit is happening to his body, and I don't know. Like I said, like I would have been fine with all that. I just wish they would have had more fun with the fact that he's turning into a clown. And I just wish it wasn't so boring. Maybe a higher body count. I don't know. Like, those are all things that I did not like. I guess I appreciate a couple like things about the clown though is like I like that like the look of his outfit like it just looks like this old like super old school clown costume.
Right.
I also do like near the end when he was like full clown like the makeup effect like how he looked I thought looked like when he was like full demon clown I thought it looked pretty cool. But yeah, just way too much time spent fucking around in that movie. I was just ultimately just bored by it and I wish it was shorter and better. I'm gonna give it a 2. Didn't love
Fair.
it. It's an easy like, and it's maybe check it out, but like also it's also like, if you don't ever see this movie,
You're probably okay.
yeah,
I'd agree with that.
yeah. So I'm trying to think. What, you saw? All right. How about? I want to hear about your thoughts on Neighbors too. I remember enjoying it.
Was okay.
Yeah.
I having seen the first one earlier this year, I think.
Yeah.
I like the first one way more.
Really?
Yeah, I think that like this, the combat back and forth between the fraternity and Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne and their kind of interaction there. Like this one, it seemed like they were really trying too hard. Like the kid always had a dildo in his hand, and like there weren't any pranks back and forth. Like it was like there
It's
was.
fuzzy now, but okay.
Yeah, it's like I didn't feel like so they go in and it's like oh they're it's like, and the setup is also I think weaker. Like it's oh we're trying to sell our house and oh fuck now we gotta like hide that the sorority is here and we're trying to sell it to the this couple coming in and we can't let them know that the sorority is taking over next door. Like some of this, there were some scenes that were kind of amusing, like Seth Rogen is trying to get to his car and they're like ripping off his clothes and they're all in like bathing suits and then Rose Byrne's character comes out and starts spraying them with water. He's like, stop, it's not working. It's just making them more sexy. But yeah, like I just wasn't pulled in. Like I thought Chloe Grace Moretz was fine and her crew was all right. Zac Efron as Teddy is pretty funny, all the way through.
Yes, he's a highlight.
But like, I just didn't think Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne were like, they just didn't seem to have the same thing going this time. Like, except for maybe when, like, there's a pretty cool scene when they're at, I don't know if it's homecoming or something, but the girls have somehow like gotten a monopoly on all the pot in the area, and there's like this kind of heist to steal the pot, and that's actually, it works pretty well. Like, but yeah, it was okay. I laughed at some parts. I just for an hour and a half, I was like, all right, it's. I mean, I just wasn't super impressed by it, but it was okay.
I wasn't super impressed. I just remember I kind of put it on the same level as the first one. I thought they were just both fine comedies, like,
Sure.
but
I just thought the first one might have been a little bit stronger.
I saw them both pretty close, and I think I was even on them, but like there were things about the second one I really liked. Like I did like, it has that little like feminist message to it. Chloe Moretz, and I really, really like Zac Efron in the sequel. Like I thought they did
He
a
was
lot.
he's great, yeah.
They did a lot with his character and like this whole kind of like man without a purpose thing. And like he didn't know what to do anymore now that he wasn't like in college anymore.
Right.
Like just like the stupid things. Like he like, oh, can I stay with you? Like this is what I remember. Like can I stay with you guys? And he's drinking all their juice boxes correctly. Just like little things like that. Like I thought were hilarious. And, like yeah, like the way they used them on the pot heist. And I don't know. Like I thought. They leaned into his character, I think, way more in the second one, like made him a bigger character.
Yeah, well,
I
because the
thought it was funny.
first one was definitely like, I mean, he was part of it, but Dave
Yeah.
Franco was more, he was more the kind of like the villain in the first one, with Zac Efron as his number two.
That's another fun thing about Neighbors 2 is finding out what happened to all his buddies. Like, they get together for like a poker game.
Yeah, like that works. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but like I wasn't blown away by either of them. I just thought they were kind of on par. I think I gave both of them three, so I don't
Yeah,
know where you're
that's where
laying
I'm
on
at
it.
with Neighbors 2. So I think I gave the first one a 3 as well, but I'm at a 3 with this. Like, it's worth watching. And it is, if you'd like the characters from the first one, it is interesting to see where they go with the second one. Some of the jokes are just kind of, they're like reused, like most comedy sequels, and
Yeah.
it just didn't feel quite as fresh as the first one, but it's worth a
No,
go.
of course. But you get to spend more time with those characters if you like the first one. Like if you like the first one, it's a perfectly fine rental. Like if you didn't like the first one, you're probably not gonna
No,
like this
not at all.
one. What else?
I saw Hardcore
Okay. Were you sick?
there were definitely parts where I was, but it was like there's a lot of like really quick cuts. And coming from first person, like you not being in control of things, yeah, definitely gave me a little bit of a headache, but it's
It's kind of hard to
okay.
watch, right?
Yeah, like, and you also kind of want to, you it's almost like I wanted a controller to take control of things, and
Right.
like this is stupid, but there are some really cool action scenes. The story is really dumb, like really, really dumb.
Yeah, and I got really tired of his sidekick guy in it, like the guy that kept popping up as different
Yeah,
characters, like.
Charlito Copley.
I didn't like him. Like I didn't like him as any of the characters, and
No.
he's like guiding you through the whole movie.
Yeah, J Jimmy keeps dying, and he's kind of an asshole. And it's like, I'm glad he died. I wish like he would just stay off screen. Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I think I seem to remember saying the same thing. Kind of like I was mostly just kind of like forgiving of it because it had some fun, inventive, like set pieces kind of in it.
There was the motorcycle scene was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
There's a there, then there's like a pretty cool scene, like It kind of reminded me of, and maybe it was like that area, but it reminded me of the Call of Duty. I think it was four. The Pripyat, the Chernobyl level, like where
Yeah,
they're in this
yeah.
like abandoned apartment building, and like that was a cool scene. But that's kind of all the movie is. It's just a string of cool scenes. It's not.
Yeah.
It's like really weak on story, and like outside of like the inventive camera stuff, it's not particularly good.
Yeah, I think we fall 100% in agreement on this. Like, yeah, it has some cool action scenes, but not a lot propping it up. And bad story, like barely there story. Bad acting, I thought. Like, I didn't like the sidekick guy. I thought the villain was way over the top, like he was supposed to be, but
Yeah, and I didn't
still
get
dumb.
them. I didn't get like the. That was like something I really didn't get was the. Like, he had psychic powers and could. Like, he had like the force. Like, he could move shit.
At some point, I stopped trying to figure it out, and I was just like, all right, this is gonna be fucking dumb as fuck, and I'm gonna strap in and like some cool action. And there was like, and so like I appreciated it on the level of it being like an homage to video games, like to
Right.
the point where I remember him pulling out his cell phone to look where he's going, and like that kind of reminds you of a video game. Like, I don't know,
Yeah,
overall dumb.
it's very dumb. It's perfectly fine, I guess. It's not anything special. I'm gonna go three on it. Like, it's okay.
I think that's where I was. I want to say I was three, if not three, a two, but probably a three. Was there another one that you saw that I had seen previously or
No, well, we're gonna hold The Conjuring, and then I saw the new Amityville movie, but I'm gonna hold that for when we talk about The Conjuring, because they kind of tie together.
right, so I think all I have left then is I finished up 11/22/63. That show is excellent, dude. I highly recommend it. I know, like, Stephen King fan and stuff. You're gonna dig it, dude.
Okay. I have the book here. I should read that at some point.
Well,
Maybe watch the movie for the miniseries
yeah.
first, and then.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, like, if once I watch something, I can't, because I'm like, oh, it takes so long to read a book that, like, I know already too much of what's gonna happen, even if it differs. But, is perfectly fine. Like, I found it to be like just a lot of fun. Like, it, like I've told you, like, it feels like Back to the Future almost. Like, it has that same sort of vibe. Like, it's fun and kind of lighthearted for a lot of it, but then mixed with like a very serious, like, hey, we're trying to stop the assassination of JFK. Also, a lot of there's like it has like side stories as it goes along where he tries to fix other things that happened in the past. There's a romance in it, like, so, James Franco goes to the past and he kind of falls in love with this girl there because like his portal takes him to 1960.
Okay.
So he has to sit there for 3 years in the past, waiting for it to reach the moment when the assassination takes place. So he lives there. He lives in 1960 through 1963. There's a lot of just like cool fish out of water stuff, and it's just a fun time. Like, it's over within 8 episodes, it tells a complete story. And the ending I thought was excellent. Like, probably 90% of what was going to happen at the end. So I guess you could say it's predictable, but maybe some people wouldn't guess it. And even if it's predictable, it's just a fun ending. Like, it's just like, I thought it was like a fantastic finish to like a really fun ride. Not a lot of like, it doesn't totally feel like Stephen King at any point really, except from the dudes from Maine. Like, there's elements of horror, but the main story itself just feels like a fun kind of pulpy adventure, so like, dude, it's a blast. Like, when you get a chance, I guarantee you're gonna
Yes,
like it.
definitely check it out. Been thinking about getting Hulu anyway, so.
Yeah, I did discs through Netflix, so I think that's pretty much your only two options if you want to watch it legally right now. But regardless, if you're a Stephen King fan or if like that just sounds cool to you, like a Back to the Future type story, it's a blast. It's a great time. I'm somewhere between 4 and 5. I don't know. I can go 5, dude. It's fun. It's a really fun
right.
show. So,
There we
highly
go.
recommend.
Glowing endorsement for 11/22/63. So,
Yeah. It's honestly, dude, it's probably like, I don't want to say the best Stephen King adaptation. I'd say that probably goes to Shawshank. But as far as TV adaptation, easily, dude. Like it,
okay.
because when you think about it, is like a lot of the miniseries that get made out of his fucking books, like they mostly like honestly suck. I don't care what anyone says. Like, go back and watch it now. It's not great.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one that was particularly good and coming up blank, so.
It's like I remember really loving Storm of the Century back in the day, which he wrote for TV, right? But
Right.
like this doesn't feel corny at all. It feels like someone took his material and knew how to adapt it just right and to make it just fun and not feel cheap. The effects don't look bad. Like, you got good actors. Like, it's just it feels like a good TV show, you know?
Right.
James Franco is great in it, so I don't know. It's a fun time. Check it out when you get a chance, Chris. I know you're gonna come back and say, "Yep, that was good."
Will do. I did not see the new episode of Westworld, so.
Interesting. I just not 100% sure where it wants to go yet. Like, I don't feel like it's found its footing, or like it's trying to accomplish too much in the first two episodes. But still cool. Like, definitely, like I'm into it. So we'll see where that goes.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely watch that sometime this week. So, and then the third episode is on Sunday. So,
Yeah, only thing I can guarantee for next week is Conjuring 2 and Keanu.
I'm gonna try and see the Infiltrator, which is the Bryan Cranston
Yeah.
movie. And I may see The Accountant.
I may see that as well.
I heard good things from people I like, but it is not doing particularly well review wise. I think it's holding like under 50%, so yeah,
Dang,
it's at
it
48% right now.
looks.
It looks pretty cool. And the one guy I kind of like listened to from movie reviews and stuff, he said it was like a cool 90s type action movie, even though it's not fully an action movie, but there's some cool action
Dude,
in it.
I was Ben Affleck, but I was getting like a strong like whatchamacallit vibe off of it. What was that fucked up movie with him in the last year, and him and his wife?
Gone Girl.
Yeah, I got like a strong like it was just gonna be like dark with like a Trent Reznor score like vibe. I got off it off the trailers, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean maybe that's what it is. I don't know. And I'm not really sure who Gavin O'Connor is.
Ooh, yeah, he's the director of Warrior.
Okay.
Great movie.
Well, he directed this as well, so we'll see.
I'm interested. I want to see it.
Yeah.
If I'm really lucky, also I will see Blood Father by next week, which is a new Mel Gibson movie.
Okay.
But we'll
Not
see how
sure if
that
I've
goes.
heard anything on that one.
You got what?
Is that out in theaters or?
It was briefly as well as video on demand, but now it is available however you want it,
Okay.
I guess. I guess it's like a like kind of straight up kind of action revenge type movie. Like, I guess it's the stuff is like there's these guys after his daughter who he's not seen in forever, and she comes to him for help, and he's like, "I'll fucking kill everybody then." So sounds cool, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
I may try and check that out then.
Heard good things about it, so
All right. Well, some stuff then next week.
yeah.
All right. We'll be back next week then.
Movie dudes.
Dudes.
Do 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 do.